I've come to Mallorca, but not one of the southern resorts. I'm 72 kilometres northeast of Magaluf, about an hour's drive from Palma Airport, in a small historic town of 16,000 people. The old town of Pienza is 6 kilometres inland, so there's no multi-storey beachfront hotels or resorts here. Pienza has all the charms of a lake district or Cotswold town, with narrow paved streets winding past old honey-coloured stone houses, bars and restaurants. The lanes open onto a large central square. I've chosen the Hotel Yuma. It recently celebrated its centenary and has remained in the same family ownership for five generations.
This was the only hotel in Pollença. It's been the first hotel built in Mallorca.
Tourism in the town and in this hotel has flourished because of artists. This part of rural northeast Mallorca is a beautiful place to paint, and once an artistic community was established, more like-minded people settled here. You'll notice many galleries as you wander the lanes. Manager of one, Paul Font, says Pienza is still important for art lovers.
Mallorca is the third part of Spain with the best art. First is Madrid, then Barcelona, and then is Mallorca. People know that there is a good tradition from art and painters. A lot of important painters coming here to paint.
Tony Campings from Hotel Yuma says artists started visiting after a well-respected painter called Angelar de Camarasa moved to the area and brought his students and fellow artist friends.
They came here and they liked so much the light, the scenery, they decided to stay here.
During the First World War, artists retreated to the area. Many wrote out the Spanish Civil War here too. Soon there was an established Pienza School of Painters.
Mountains, the sea, you have all in a little place, no?
Back in the early days of tourism, Tony says some of the struggling artists who made the hotel their home tried to settle their bills with art.
They did not have money to pay the bills, you see, and they left pictures. The owner, they didn't like that. He wanted the money.
But before you head to the mountains or the beaches, there are views worth capturing on canvas around town. One of Pienza's most visited requires a bit of a hike. The El Calvario Chapel is on a hill, once owned by the Knights Templars.
With 365 steps. And in the top we have a little church. And the view from the Calvary, it's from all the valley from Pienza, is very, very nice.
There are luckily a few arts and crafts shops alongside, so you can take a breather and cool down in the shade of the cypress trees which line the walk. On the opposite side of the valley, on top of a high hill, there's an historic monastery. It dates back to 1340. That's 334 metres above sea level, so you have to be fairly fit to take the hike up there too. Tony's son, Joanne, now manages Hotel Yuma, and he recommends a visit.
We have here a mountain that is very important for locals, that is Puig de Maria. 45 minutes walking, you need to go to the top. Many local people go there to visit the monastery. If they need to ask something for the family or for an illness and so on, goes to Puig de Maria and visit the Virgin. They pray for the Virgin.
People have lived around Pienza since Roman times, and just outside the town you'll find the old Roman bridge. It's got three arches of different shapes. It's no wider than a single bed, and it looks like it was made from beach pebbles. It spans what is currently a completely dry, boulder-strewn riverbed. It's incredible to think that generations have walked or marched across the structure since it went up in 120 AD. I've seen five cyclists use it to get across in the last few minutes. It can't be a comfortable ride. It's cobbled. I'm currently on the edge of town, but if I walk for 5 minutes, I can pick up the bus to the newer area, the port of Pienza. Now, the port doesn't sound that attractive, but it's not as industrial as the name would suggest. It's where you'll find the major shops. The town centre's a bit dull, filled with bland concrete buildings, but there are fantastic stretches of sand along the elegant promenade. And you can imagine what it would have been like in the 20s or 30s, when well-heeled Brits travelled here to escape the British winter. Today, you can see why it's popular as a refined choice of retirees. Virginia Pareo from the town's tourism team says Agatha Christie helped popularise the promenade amongst her readers.
She wrote about the Pine Walk. She stayed in a hotel in Puerto de Pollensa. So that's why this promenade became famous. This promenade has got lots of pines and shade, and it's really nice to walk around during the evening and enjoy the views of the bay.
One of the most beautiful places to visit and paint is the small seaside village of Cala San Vicente, a 10-minute ride from Pienza.
Very clear and beautiful water. There is a mountain that is called Cavall Bernat. It changed the color a few times per day. It's not the same color in the morning, not the same color in the afternoon, in the evening.
Well, the beaches are beautiful, but you might want to enjoy them when it's quieter in the low season. Joanna Greenfield is from the English language magazine Top of the North. She says it can be heaving in summer.
The nicest beaches are the smallest, and they're the ones that get the busiest, and those are the ones that you have to, you know, scale cliffs to get to, which are beautiful. But I'd say get a boat and go around the bay. It's a beautiful, beautiful coastline to explore. There's loads of boats in the port that will take you around. You can take a boat out on your own.
If you want a second opinion on the sands, here's one from Michael Sarri, an American expat. He suggests the 850-metre crescent of white sand on the far northwest of the island, around 40 minutes' drive from Pienza.
And I would say go to Formentor. It's a little bit of a drive and it's a little bit of a windy road, but it's beautiful, especially if you want to get away from the crowds.
The mountain range backdrop to the pine-shaded beach there is incredible. At the end of the headland, there's a lighthouse looking down from 200 metres above sea level. Car parking by the beach ain't cheap. It's €9, and sun lounges can cost up to €50 a day. You can, though, catch a boat to the beach from the main port of Pienza.
Tramontana Mountains, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, is beautiful, it's really stunning, and if you're into nature, wildlife, hiking and birdwatching, then, I mean, it's, you know, paradise, basically.
Hiking's become important.
You're going to see some waterfalls, if you're lucky, if you're here in the winter. Some incredible geological rock structures. If you're from the United States, you would use the word epic.
The mountains really are spectacular. They're massive. Some of their jagged, rocky peaks are over 1,000 metres high, and there's a lot to discover within their deep gorges and valleys. The 135-kilometre-long dry stone route is marked by dry stone terraces, where olive trees have grown. That's a popular hike. It's an 8-day excursion for serious walkers who stay in hostels on the way.
I find it very interesting when you have that combination of the ocean and then high mountain ranges, and of course in the middle of the island it's very flat.
Virginia says many people come to the area for cycling, which did surprise me because it's so hilly.
You have different kinds of levels if you want to practice flat. Mallorca has some parts very quite flat. And if you want just a challenge, cycle along the Tramontana Mountains.
I found the most incredible tapas deal in town. We'll talk about the cuisine and culture of this part of Mallorca and why you might think you're in Peebles rather than Pienza next.
This is the Great Destinations Radio Show.
Thank you. This is the Great Destinations radio show. I've come to Mallorca, now the south of the island is famous for expats and party towns like Magaluf and the all-inclusive resorts. The area I've come to, in the northeast around Pollença, offers a very different form of tourism. It's an artist enclave and slightly bohemian. Pollença has been difficult to reach in the past until the newer dual carriageway cut travel time to Parma down to under 1 hour. I guess that's helped the town retain its unique identity, which means that locals are easily identified by other Mallorcans.
When we go to Palma, for instance, we go to the doctor, we go into a shop, immediately they say, you are from Pollença, because we have a different accent.
In Mallorca, they speak Catalan rather than Spanish. That's the main language heard around Barcelona. But they do have an island version.
In Catalan, to a cat is gat and is moix in Balearic Island.
And a glass
is called vas in Catalan and is called tassó here in Mallorca. And we have also different vowels. We understand each other, so the language is the same.
Well, the tourist board offers free guided walks, taking in the museum where I am now, and some of the churches and historic sites. I've started on one, but I'm not going to finish. It's multilingual, and to be honest, it's a bit tedious, because you've got to wait for the guides to complete the different cycle of languages. Pollença, though, is a compact town. You won't find many cars in the centre, so it's easy enough to walk around and guide yourself. It's fairly quiet at the moment because I'm visiting in the autumn, but certain events, I'm told, draw massive crowds, and there's one winter festival well worth visiting.
In winter we have the pine tree of Sant Antoni. We celebrate it on 17 January. We cut a very large pine, about 20 or 22 meters, and young people take the pine to the town, plant it on a small square there. For 2 or 3 hours they try to climb it. The pine has soap, so it's very difficult.
And Pollença also has a major summertime event.
The 2nd August we celebrate the main festivity of the town of Pollença. It's a battle between Moors and Christians that is very traditional in many places of the Mediterranean Sea, where we celebrate a victory against Turkish pirates that came in the 16th century.
A hero called Joan Mass jumped out of his house and called the town to get out and fight them, and they did, and they won. It's a very important story for the locals. It's a brilliant, brilliant fiesta. It's on national TV. Thousands of people come. And you either dress up as a Moro, like a pirate, or you dress up like Aladdin, basically, or you dress up in white pyjamas. And it's crazy. It's really, really good fun. But you have to be prepared for crowds, and there's a lot of drinking going on.
You might not expect to hear this sound in Mallorca. Locals play bagpipes.
A few years ago, it was a forgotten instrument. It was a traditional instrument, not very appreciated here. But maybe in the last 20 years, it starts growing, and many people want now to learn our bagpipes. Usually it was played by two people. One plays the bagpipe, and the other one plays the flute, and with the other hand, a small drum.
I met up with Antonio, who runs Authentic Mallorca. All of his goods, whether food or gift items, are handmade in Mallorca. The olive oil aroma in the shop was incredible when I walked in. It was created by a number of crafted olive wood items, including chopping boards. I was surprised how tough they are.
It's very, very hard. In 100 years, it will be exactly the same.
It's like rock.
Yes, exactly. It's incredible.
I was more interested in tasting the local food and drink rather than chopping it up. There was an amazing-looking liqueur. The bottle contained herbs, and they almost resembled a forest inside the glass.
This is the most typical and popular liqueur called hierbas. It could be dry, sweet, or medium. Normally we drink with ice, and it could be aperitif or when you drink a cafe.
You'll also see almond liqueur. It's the main nut produced on the island, and growing almond trees became a major farming activity at the end of the 19th century.
And it's like a Baileys, but with almonds.
They use it in sweets too, in turron, which is a bit like nougat. Some of the local Mallorcan dishes are worth trying.
In the town, we have a very, very good offer of restaurants. local food was made in fincas, in farms and so on, and now restaurants try to adapt it to a modern kitchen. You can eat frit, it's very traditional frit. Frit is made from liver and potatoes.
Meat eaters might like the raw paprika seasoned sausage. It's called soppressata.
They use the rest of the pig, all of it, churn it all up, mix it up with some spices and turn it into a sausage. You see them hanging in all the butchers. They're delicious. It's just this red sausage. It's very meaty. Vegetarian's hell, I think.
But you won't starve if you're veggie. There's a ratatouille type dish called tumbert on many menus.
We use all the vegetables that we have in this time and in this area. It's very healthy because you need potatoes, aubergines, pepper.
Joanna recommends trying a pastry dish, the ensaimada.
I guess a bun, as in an English iced bun, is the best way I can describe it. But it's they make it by making the pastry and then a layer of lard, and they roll it together, a big sort of sausage, and then they coil it up into the bun. They bake it, and it rises because it's a really light and fluffy bun. Sprinkle it with icing sugar, and then yes, that's a breakfast.
As you're in Spain, you'd expect good tapas, and you won't be disappointed. Gabriela Tardes operated La Birrera, a wine bar and tapas restaurant, for 2 years. It's one of 12 local bars offering an incredible deal, 2 pieces of tapas and a drink for €2.50 every Thursday.
And we speak with different bars, oh, we can make a route about this, and the people say, ah, oh, that's a good idea, it's a good day, no football in the TV. A lot of women are coming with all together with friends, and they say the husband is at home with the children, and they change. 1 week is coming the man, and another week is coming the woman.
As I walked in, the tapas on the counter was arranged like an arts display, so colourful, with different toppings from prawns to cold meats and peppers, creatively stacked onto the bread base.
The people buy the food for the eyes, not for the smell.
I hadn't considered Mallorca previously because I wrongly associated the island with all-night partying. I'm a bit old for all of that. Whether you want to get outdoors and hike or bike or kayak, or you want a relaxing winter break in a picture-perfect town, I'd recommend Pollença. Hotel Yuma kindly accommodated me for the trip. To get there, fly to Palma Airport. There's many low-cost flights, around £25 one way from Birmingham, London or Edinburgh. When you land, catch the shuttle from the airport into Palma, and then a second bus from the transport interchange takes you to Pollença.
This is the Great Destinations Radio Show.